O ever-loving Father, we ask you to be with us through this exercise. May I be a faithful witness, and may we all be faithful sharers of the riches of your word. And so, as we always do, we allow Jesus to speak to each one of us. As he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me and rest." Joshua 1, verses 5 and 6. "Be strong and very courageous. I will never leave you or forsake you." The book of Joshua is the sixth book in the Bible. So what, you might ask? It may not sound significant. Until you realize that there are five books of Moses, often called the Pentateuch, and that the book of Joshua forms a hub, a kind of hinge, between the narrative that has been followed between Genesis and the death of Moses, and then the life in the Promised Land and the history surrounding the judges and the kings. There are three parts to the book of Joshua. Chapters 1 to 12 tell us how Joshua led Israel's occupation of the Promised Land. Chapters 13 to 21 tell how the land was shared out among the tribes of Israel. And the final two chapters lead up to the renewal of the covenant by acclaim at Shechem and the death of Joshua. I say that the book is a hinge. I say that because, on the one hand, it looks back to the promises made to the ancestors in Genesis, those promises of a promised land. The entry into that land is the last in a whole series of saving events, including the passage through the Red Sea. But on the other hand, the book also looks forward. There are reflections on the role of the leader. We hear how Joshua is inheriting the responsibilities of Moses. The book begins to develop the concept of a single people of God, worshipping him in the land he has given them. There is the beginning of a theology of land, which gives us a lead into the understanding of some of the issues of the Holy Land today. The book, it seems to me, preserves at least some real memories of Israel's early days in Canaan. There probably wasn't a sweeping invasion, but a slow, stumbling progress, success and then failure, sudden victory and small areas of conquest. There is no real plot to the book. At the beginning, the people stand on the very edge, poised to take their place in the Promised Land. And in the end, they're there, making a covenant with God, leading up to the statement in chapter 24, verse 14. "Fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." But back to the beginning. The date is around 1200 BC. Moses has just died. Their charismatic leader and judge, the one who argued with God, the only one ever to have spoken with God face to face. He had been with them through all those awful difficulties in the wilderness. The people had come to depend upon Moses in a way that they hadn't realized. And now there was silence. Silence just at the moment when they were poised for success. Imagine yourself to be in Joshua's shoes. Joshua is sitting on a rock on a low hill overlooking the River Jordan. Behind him is the hubbub of a huge camp, the whole nation of Israel on the move. Joshua's eyes range over the view in front of him. Not the dry, arid desert anymore, but the lush green of a beautiful valley. Joshua was second in command. What should they do? Should they turn back now that their leader has died? Should they press on without Moses' great experience into the unknown land that lay before them? Joshua must have been terrified, the burden almost unbearable. And at this moment of crisis, God addresses Joshua directly and individually. Here lies the transfer of the role that Moses had played to Joshua, his second in command. Joshua is encouraged. His task is described. And he receives the assurance that God will be with him. It is almost a ceremonial and ritual occasion. Maybe there was one, and this is the remnant of it. None is properly described, but Joshua's leadership is clearly the gift of God and now has to be handled as such. And at this moment, the words of God come to Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and very courageous. Put yourself in Joshua's shoes. Imagine the scene as I've described it. Feel the warmth of the sun. Look across the Jordan. Hear the sounds behind you. More importantly, think back to history. The history that has brought you and the people to this point. The promises that have been made. And think ahead to the task that you as Joshua have been given, which will culminate in the renewal of the covenant with God. And listen. God speaks to you. Be strong and courageous. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. I will never leave you or forsake you. So first of all, we sought to receive that saying from God as Joshua heard it in the very first place. Now we come to receive the same words into our own hearts, into the context of our own lives, God speaking to us directly and individually. The words spoken to our own situation. Like Joshua, we can look back. We can see the history of our own lives and what has brought us to this moment, to this point. Maybe there's been a wilderness experience, some tough times, thirst, the deprivation, danger, anger. But also there has been the loving, caring, merciful, compassionate generosity of God Himself. We can also look ahead and see what lies over the river, the way in which we are going to be tested, the decisions that we may have to make, the pressure that we may be under in one way or another, the unexpected thing that may come and suddenly happen or be presented to us. But who knows what great things God has in store for us also? What He does is to speak to us directly and individually. Be strong and courageous. I will never leave you or forsake you. So there may be much for which we need courage. Where are we to turn for it? If we look to ourselves, we will not find it. Not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, God said to us. But rather, if we look to Jesus, we see there a courage sustained throughout his life and ministry. That ministry was incredibly costly. What was the source of his courage? His resources that he needed day by day. Surely it was his complete trust in his Father and his presence with him. He shares his life with his Father. If you take as our resource of St. John's Gospel, we find Jesus knows the one who sent him. We find Jesus indicating that the will of his Father is his food and drink, his joy and his life. Jesus knows that the one who sent him is with him and does not leave him alone. Jesus is profoundly aware that he can do nothing on his own. That is why he can so decisively claim that the ruler of this world has no power over him. It is as if Jesus is participating in the very life of his Father and can therefore live a life of complete fullness and freedom and with a courageous heart. Love has displaced fear for him. We all know of people who have impressed us enormously by their courage. Sometimes they are the kind of people who dismiss what they've done by saying that there was no alternative for them. What else could I do, they say. So for us, there are things that we know are coming, and there are things that are going to be unexpected. At any moment we may need that same fullness and freedom and courage that Jesus had in his life. So we listen to God speaking to us in the context of our own lives, looking back to the history that has brought us to this moment, but looking ahead the things that are coming. God saying to each one of us, individually and directly, be strong and courageous. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. I will never leave you or forsake you. strong and courageous, I will never leave you or forsake you. Father, we thank you that your word is alive and within us. So we come to our time of intercession, this third part of our contemplative exercise, as we allow God to speak the words through us to those for whom we wish to pray. And we all know of people who need this courage, this strength that God has to give. And it is those for whom our prayers will be directed today. There will be people that we know ourselves directly, and those we don't know. God says to you, be strong and courageous. I will never leave you or forsake you. So we come to our time of intercession. And so, Father, we thank you that your word has gone out through us to those for whom we've prayed. And Lord, we praise you and bless you and adore you for your penetrating, life-giving word of love. And we offer and present to you as far as we are able all that we are, all that we have, and all that we do, as an emptiness to be filled by you and by your word until you are all in all and we are complete. Through him who is the embodiment of your word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.